This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which, if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good, as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finedining podcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh.
Applebee's?
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy. Okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
Okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finedining podcast. It's the final round of Carmania 2019, and we listen to Yo Kids. And we have to talk about it for the last time this year on Good Christian Fun.
It is nice to not feel dumb.
You disgusting little pig.
Throbbing giant.
Damn it. Are you familiar with, like, Calvinism as a concept?
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Made him laugh.
He even thought that was funny.
Damn it. I'm popping pussy every day.
What would Carmen say to that?
Why do I ever talk?
Well, that's a question we answer each week on this show. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have good Christian fun. It's on Good Christian Fun. Every day.
I couldn't tell you the
context of that at all.
But you pulled it. Do you have this little folder you're like putting them in now?
Oh, yeah. I filed these away. That was like months and months and months ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was like maybe from last year or something.
That's very
psychotic.
Good.
But yeah, just tuck it away.
I'd be more embarrassed with the Calvinism one.
No, that's
and
the right
I
call.
Am.
Good Christian Fun is a podcast where we talk about Calvinism and our dicks
as a concept.
And we talk about Christian pop culture, music, media, entertainment from, for, and by Christians. But we're not here to make fun of you or to make you go to church with us, even though our church is really cool, maybe, would just come one time.
I don't know.
But we're just here to have fun with it. And it's Carmania 2019. We've done four episodes in a row for some god-awful reason about Carmen.
A man named Carmen.
A person that when I was reading an old issue of CCM magazine, a magazine that used to exist in print form, they called him Christian's most famous Italian. Christianity's most famous Italian.
I mean, I'd argue the Pope is probably
maybe Christian
Italian?
Music's most famous Italian is what they say. I know,
yeah,
they
we
weren't
did that.
They weren't generous with that.
They just forget about Catholicism all the time.
But we've talked about The Standard. We've talked about frickin', what was the one last week? Oh, Mission 316. We've watched clips of him on Fire by Night. We've tried to figure out what was the worst Carmen song of all time, A Hunt That Is Infinite. And now we're listening to Yo Kids.
I think we saved the best for last.
Honestly, we might have.
Yeah.
How do you feel at the end of Carmania right now? What's your soul like?
I feel oily. I feel
greasy.
Greasy. I feel like I'm being yanked back into time against my will.
Ooh.
And I feel, but I feel better informed.
About
and angry.
I know that is the twin evils of knowledge, is it brings anger.
Yeah,
as well,
my bliss is just like going down every episode.
Well, we need a little help to talk about Yo Kids thoroughly, so let's introduce a special guest that can help us. Friends, he is a writer and a comedian. You may know him from What Just Happened, or Great News, or his podcast The Wokest, or Culture Kings. Friends, folks, give it the hell up for Edgar Monplaisir.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very, very excited to be here.
Thanks for coming,
so
sir.
Welcome.
I know I have a very low energy demeanor, but I am happy to be here.
Right. You have like...
I see it in your eyes.
What people often talk about, resting bitch face. You have something called resting no new friends voice.
Yes, it's true. It is true. It has gotten me in trouble with the job interviews and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm working on it.
I bet you'd have a hard time like working at a In-N-Out or something like that.
Oh,
where
yeah.
They demand a lot of cheeriness.
Yeah, I used to be a volunteer at a hospital.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, they did not like my demeanor because I'd be like, hello, what can I help you with today?
I'm sorry you're about to die.
Yeah, like, my grandfather's like, here, guy. He's dying. I'm like,
but
okay.
Truly, you care very deep. Yeah. Well, that's probably the
fourth
problem.
Fourth floor, what do you want? It's on the sign.
That's not my problem.
Right
okay,
there.
Yeah, obviously.
No, I have friends who go through that where it's like they're a victim of their own voice or
yeah.
persona where they just
yeah.
feel like, well, I can't even try to... I mean, I feel like maybe you and I often get something where it's like, I can't tell whether you're joking or not.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe like the opposite mm-hmm. of that, where it's like, I can't tell that you're joking
yeah.
Yeah.
ever. But they people always assume sometimes that people with personalities like ours are always joking
always
or
joking.
Not
yeah.
being
that's
sincere.
A good one, yeah.
And it sucks when you try to give someone like a compliment or say something kind of earnest.
Yeah.
Like,
it's happened a few times for us where I'm like trying to like genuinely be like, yeah, that's a good idea. And it just sounds sarcastic, like, no matter how I try.
Oh, to me?
Yeah, to you.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Or like anytime I'm in a work meeting, I now like have to remind myself just like soft smile. Just do a soft smile.
Are you hard smiling the whole time during work?
No, just like...
Oh, okay.
Or I'm like thinking, you know, so I'm like frowning at
yeah.
someone. And so now I'm just like, yeah.
Because you have very, I was going to say something, but I was told it's rude to say it. So I'm not going to say it anymore.
No, but you should say it because we'll give you
is
permission.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I'll give you permission.
Well, I've always been told I had an expressive face and I never thought that was rude. But then a white woman earlier this week said that that's a rude thing to say. And I said, oh, okay. I didn't know that. But I was going to say you have very expressive eyebrows.
Oh, I think that's a nice compliment.
Well, there you go. She was wrong. And I knew she was wrong.
White women are notoriously shit.
Yeah.
And confused.
Well, she was on my improv team,
drop on the next week.
Damn it, Kevin.
Oh, she was. Yeah, I mean, maybe it was offensive to her, and that's
yeah.
okay.
She
but...
was saying that that's why people make fun of her, and I was like, that's not why everyone makes fun of me.
No, the reason why everyone makes fun of you
is because of
yes.
this.
Oh, man. Well, Edgar, thanks for coming on the show.
Of
What's
course.
Your relationship with faith, God, religion? Stuff
born
like
and raised,
Christian?
Baby. Yes, Christian, Seventh-day Adventist.
Ooh,
okay.
Deep in the game.
Where was this geographically?
I was born in New York City. My parents immigrated to this country from Haiti. My mom was raised Catholic. My dad was raised Seventh-day Adventist. And then my mom came to this country, almost became a nun, and then was just like, you know what, let me try out America first before I make up my mind, and then
wow.
stayed. And then met my dad, or went to like this Adventist church when she first moved to New York City. Like they like helped her find community and helped her find work and
that's
stuff like
great.
That. And then she got super deep into it. And through that, my mom comes from a house full of sisters. So my dad went to a different church than my mom went to, where her sister was going, and would give her like give my aunt rides back home. And
okay.
in Haitian culture, if you drop someone off at their house, you have to say hello to the family. You can't just like drop them off on the curb and dip.
You're off, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, is that a gender thing, or it's just like anyone giving anyone
it's like
a
ride? I think it's also probably a gender thing
okay.
as well, where it's like you're dropping this lady off, make sure she goes upstairs and say hello.
Mm-hmm.
So he would go upstairs and say hello. Saw my mom, fell in love with her. So the Adventist church also gave my mom job. That's a husband as well. And then
a new car.
She got super deep in. Yeah, she got a car from it as well. So she got super deep into it and then required my brothers and I to all be deep into it by making us go to Adventist school our entire lives.
I
except
didn't even
for 2
knew they had school?
Years of my life. Yeah, there's one.
Oh, 2 years?
Except for 2 years of my life, I did not go to Adventist school. That includes college as well.
Oh,
Seventh Day Adventist College.
Adventist College. What's that like?
Yeah.
Insane. Very bad.
Curfews, dress codes.
Very much so. Curfew, 11 p.m. No dress code. That's chill. But it was a dry lifestyle campus, which meant that if I was drinking alcohol right now and I went back to school
You'd
and you guys post a picture of it, I would be in violation of it, even though I'm not on campus. Yeah, it was like, as long as you're a student here, you're promising to all of our religious code. Wow.
I would love to know if any of these institutions have evolved in the last like 5 to 10 years with some of this, like some of these, because my sister went to not a Seventh-day Adventist college, but she went to Oral Roberts University.
That's a very, very strict school.
Super strict and very evangelical. Joel Osteen, what up? Get at me. But one of the new rules they instituted in 2015 was that new students had to wear Fitbits and walk a certain amount of steps.
Yeah. I mean, I'm probably because of like how unhealthy the food is there and stuff like
that. In Oklahoma? Yeah. Well, yeah, that's probably part of it.
Sorry.
I remember hearing about that. I can't remember if that was somewhere else though, but I was listening to a podcast that talked about that, and like one woman got kicked out because she was like overweight or something from her Christian college, and like it was supposed to be a health initiative, but it was definitely like the president thought like my lifestyle is definitely the best, so like all of you, like no one can be overweight and be a Christian, and so
it's
I'm
going to
make them all like do this insane amount of exercise.
Well, I feel like, you know, we're seeing the change happening, not positively, but negatively, in that the numbers for these schools are dwindling. Like, I don't know about evangelical schools, but I do know in terms of Adventist colleges, the numbers like in the 80s, 70s, packed. Nowadays, they're run down. They're like, you know, they're not getting a lot of endowment, so therefore the buildings aren't very updated. Like, I remember when I was there, there was like an alumni weekend, and this dude came in, old ass dude, and he looked around and was like, this dorm hasn't changed at all. And I was like, that's insane.
that's
insane.
Gross.
I live here.
What was the college you went to? What was the name of it?
Pacific Union College. Okay. It's in Northern California.
Is that like one of the bigger Adventist
it is one of the more liberal ones. It's not one of the bigger ones. The biggest one is like Andrews University in Michigan, where very close to where Adventism was founded and Ellen G. White and all that stuff. My school is like one of the more liberal ones because it was in California.
Did you choose it for that reason?
I chose it because I had a film school in it. So I guess yes.
Okay.
Yeah. My mom was like, you have to go to Adventist college. And then I was like, what about film school? She's like, only if it's Adventist. And she said that, thinking that one would not exist. And I found one.
You called the bluff.
Yeah, I was like, I found this one. But it was super liberal in comparison, which is still not that liberal.
Still not that.
No.
That, that's
funny. Like, we could watch DVDs without getting in trouble.
Holy smokes.
There's some schools you can't do that.
In the hole?
What, you think you're thinking the circle in the middle of the DVD causes lust within a young man's heart?
Makes you think, what can you put in there?
What else it has holes? And then, you know, draw your own conclusions.
Can you describe what it was like growing up from the inside? Like, did you at points like love it? Did you feel engaged in it?
Oh yeah, I was in all the way growing up, mostly because it was everything. Like, you know, we're talking school, we're talking like it was 24/7.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it was like all your friendships, right?
Absolutely. I also in New York was going to a Haitian Adventist church, so you know, like my family was very entwined in it. My grandfather helped start that church. So people were just like super involved in it. It wasn't until I was born and raised in New York. When I was 14, I moved to Texas, and I think that that was like the first big crack in it for me, because I wanted to be a pastor. Like, I wanted to, like, there's an Adventist television network called 3ABN, Three Angels Broadcasting Network. And
hello.
And I wanted to, like, be on it. Like, I wanted to have a show and like sing songs. My family's very musical, so like I wanted to like sing songs and stuff like that, have a praise band and all this stuff. But then moving to Texas, I feel like my parents had less control over me because it's such a more massive area.
Yeah, it looks like you'd fit right in.
Oh, there he is.
Oh.
Okay, so the guy right there on the left.
Yeah.
This guy right there, Danny Shelton.
I've pulled up 3ABN.
Danny Shelton is in a lot of like trouble right now. Or not trouble. So he had this wife, Lynn Shelton, and they were like kind of, have you guys seen The Righteous Gemstones?
Yeah.
You know, like that.
So they're like the power couple of Adventism.
Okay. And then Lynn Shelton just, or maybe her name is Linda Shelton. She just disappeared one day and no one knows what happened to her.
Oh, like a regular Shelley Miscavige.
Yes. Yeah. But she's alive. Like we found her, but like.
we found her.
But.
Yeah, Linda Shelton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Danny had, I guess, either she left or he cheated on her with someone else. And then like, it was like this big thing. But then Adventist people started attacking Linda Shelton for leaving him because divorce is so not good. But she also, I'm pretty sure she left because he did something wrong.
Like, well, that tracks like with the general trend of like what happens in those situations.
Yeah. Right?
So she probably just like, I want to not live with you, but we can't announce this publicly.
Exactly.
So we're just going to be apart.
So they just kind of pretended as if she like didn't exist. Like,
she's so brutal. And then she bears the brunt of it rather than him and his like... indiscretion.
In college, for fun, I would read this Facebook group that would like slut shame her. But because I was like, I was really high and stuff, and I was like, let me just read this.
Let
this
me
is very
see
funny to
where
me.
You all, yeah.
Yeah, and but it was also like, you know, now being a lot older, I'm just like, oh, that was a that was insane.
No, I like to navel gaze that deeply problematic Facebook groups as well.
Yeah,
I'm in one called. No, I'll say it.
Whoa.
They won't find out.
Oh, they're going to come for you. No. What are they going to do?
It's called Reformed Pub. And the idea is it's like a lot of, it's mostly men, obviously. It's a lot of Reformed evangelical people who are like super hardcore Calvinists, super like literal biblical, blah, blah, blah. But then like to the extremities of like political POVs and like a lot of like Venn diagram overlap with Jordan B. Peterson stands and people like that.
Yes.
Following topic. And most of it's not fun, but some of it does get hilarious.
The memes have to be amazing in there.
The memes are incredible because you don't, you just think about the memes that you like.
Exactly.
Which are like probably morally fine. And then you think about like memes from the dark side of the web that are like, you know, whatever slur be like, and then some picture of, you know, Michael Scott from The Office or, so, you know, or like unrepentant Armenians be like.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Linda Shelton did put out an autobiography called Adventures in Forgiveness where she tells her side of the story. So if anyone wants to check that out.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad she got she got a book deal out of it.
A book deal from who?
Good for her. It is self-published.
Oh.
It's an e-book, but you know, you can buy it.
I'm not downloading no PDF.
She can be heard and read.
So do you think like you kind of like always want to be an entertainer and like, I think that's a thread we hear sometimes with a lot of people who eventually went into entertainment is like growing up in the church, such a one for one
100%
like path you can take in the church to just become a pastor or become a speaker and you get that same kind of like vocational thrill, I guess.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, the church in Texas, which is so ironic that like I ended up not becoming more Adventist because of that church, but it was so much more like it was a big church. It was like 1,000 people, and so like they would have like a massive youth program and they'd put on these shows in the afternoon. It's called Adventist Youth. It happened on like 6 p.m. on Saturdays.
Cool.
And they would have my brother and I write what I now understand is sketches.
Wow.
Like really, like with like all
what
these
would
jokes
they call
like
them
that. They would call them skits. Which is a derogatory term for me. I don't like when
their
I
illusions.
Go on Twitter and someone's like, I like that SNL skit. I go, fuck you, that's not what it's called. Skits are things at church. We would write like these like very comedic, like I remember doing like the little David Letterman like top 10 for like religious things.
Oh,
and like
great.
Top 2 reasons
so much-
Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, but like now I'm just like, oh, that was me exercising this want of like wanting to perform, and I felt like it had to be in a Christian context, exactly like what
right.
you said.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, oh, that stuff is propaganda. And,
Before we skip to that, you were starting to say that, your parents had less control of you when you got to Texas.
Yes.
And you maybe started to like spread your wings a little bit.
100%. Yeah, because, you know, Texas was like so much more of like a big area in terms of kind of like out here how like all the houses are spread out and stuff like that.
Right.
So like I would be miles and miles away from them where they couldn't control me. And then also on top of that, my cousin in like a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air like situation moved in with us because he was in trouble at home and his mama said, you got to go live with your auntie and uncle on the border of Mexico. And
he's rich.
Yeah.
And he kept asking, how come he don't want me?
Yeah.
How come he don't want me?
That's exactly.
And we all cried.
But he wasn't raised Adventist at all because his mama kind of had left the church when she was younger. So he like came in like, you know, Lil Wayne blasting all this stuff. And but my mom was like, you have to go to church with us. And he got really into it because there was the audiovisual department, which was like the people who were like in charge of running audio and doing the microphones. He was into doing that, and like that like gave him a way to be a part of like our church community. But then people found out that he wasn't Adventist and he wasn't baptized, and they told him he couldn't do it anymore.
They were that strict about it?
Yeah.
That's wild.
They're just like, you're not baptized, so you're not blessed, so you can't do it. And that was like the first like thing for me where I was just like, oh, this kind of sucks.
Yeah. Because
you had this guy who didn't care at all, like, and now he found a way to like, yeah. And you're telling him that he can't do it. And that was like the first big question.
Nip that in the bud is
so crazy. Yeah.
So what was your like actual relationship with like what you thought God was during this time?
Man, I think before I used to think that he was like this dude that was always watching us and very, very upset. I think mostly because so much of Adventist religion is kind of concentrated on the Old Testament, especially Daniel. Like, the two most popular books are probably Daniel and Revelations. So, like, I always only had a sense of, like, God in terms of judgment and the way that God was going to handle things when he came back. Mm. So I think I was very terrified of him. And now in therapy, I'm realizing that so much of my relationship with him was me trying to do things and making sure he was never upset with me. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's probably a lot of the reasons why I left, is because I'm like, oh, this is making me very anxious and very stressed all the time. But in terms of like religious practice, I didn't get to do a lot of things because Adventists celebrate the Sabbath. So Friday sundown to Saturday sundown is a holy day. So I wasn't allowed to like go out and play with my friends. I had to like leave basketball games early.
Oh,
I had to like, so I think my overall relationship with him was, this is a guy who is in charge, and if I don't do things a certain way, I'm going to end up in hell.
Yeah, like a boss at a job that you're not trying to get fired from.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. And he doesn't like me playing basketball.
Yeah, he doesn't. Friday. Yeah.
And he makes me work a weird shift on Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
What was the ritual that you would have to do in those hours? Or is it just like, be home and don't do anything?
We would have a prayer service like at night. So maybe we went to church and had Vespers, but if we didn't, my mom would bring us in to the living room. Someone would have to read a Bible verse in French, which was always very rough. I didn't know what I was saying. we would sing a couple songs, and then we'd pray. And then after that, like, it was like maybe religious music afterwards, but if not, you're supposed to like nothing, truly nothing.
Just stare at the wall.
No reading
stare
at the wall. Book?
If it's not religious, you couldn't read it.
Boy.
Which is where a lot of stuff like what we're going to talk about later came into play. We were allowed to play stuff like that. I remember listening to that a lot growing up.
Oh, great.
You could watch like VeggieTales. You could watch, what else? We used to watch Bible Man. We used to listen to Adventures in Odyssey.
Dude.
Every Friday night. That was like my thing. Every Friday night was listening to
On the radio?
Adventures? On the radio.
Yeah.
New York, they would play it.
We've covered them since and are like, this is still really, really good.
Oh, it's like so really amazing well storytelling.
That's the one thing I'm still like, because people sometimes ask, like, is it all bad? I'm like, mostly, but then there's one little diamond in the rough.
Yeah.
And like theologically and content wise, there's like conservative nonsense and like some nasty stuff. But production wise, that's the one diamond in the rough out of all the stuff we do.
And you wanted to go to Wits End. Like you like as a kid, like you're like, I want to go to this place. Yeah, this place seems so like bad. I want to be in the imagination station.
It's so funny thinking of like your family Friday time was like a 1920s living room. You
it
know,
was.
Like listening to Orphan Annie on the radio.
Yeah.
Like
we were
doing
sitting
nothing,
around.
Just like sitting in the room.
Yeah, here. In the living room. And that's my great. Mom would like, you know, be like, you have to turn it off soon. We'd be like, no, mom, please, please. Like
I gotta write down the focus on the family.
Address.
To Chris.
I want to write to Colorado Springs, Colorado.
It must be the best place in the world.
Yeah, this is crazy because I've never gotten to talk to anyone else about this because I feel like a lot of people I know don't know.
they're like,
we were Christians, but they weren't as deep into it.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to a lot of, what's that Christian? It's like now what I call music, but for Christian rock. Wow.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of that. Hillsong United.
Hillsong United. Yeah. Oh, so that must have. Wait, what year was this?
Hail Hydra.
Hillsong.
This was like in high school. In high school, like that's like. And then in Texas, it was cool because in New York, it was very, very strict. But in Texas, a little looser, so it's like this Christian rock feel, and that's when like I discovered Chris Tomlin, is that his name? What was their? It was their version of Nickelback.
There's a few, sir. You're about to narrow it.
God damn it!
Was it Creed?
It wasn't Creed. They're a little later than that. They're like, it's the same gruffy kind of voice. It's like counting something.
Lifehouse? Third Day.
I remember Third Day. I remember Lifehouse. I remember New Boys. Casting Crowns.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
That's their fucking name. I used to listen to Casting Crowns so much. 96.9.
That bums me out.
The Christian rock station.
What if his people...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
They were good, man. They were good.
Pretty good.
This is so funny, too, because I feel like for so many people we have on the show, often they have like more gospel genre-oriented backgrounds, more so than like white contemporary Christian music stuff.
In New York, after church, we would go to my Aunt Renee's house on Saturday, and we would watch like, you know, Donnie McClurkin, Kirk Franklin, the Winans, and all that stuff. But once we moved from New York to Texas, I was like the first black kid a lot of my friends had ever met. So I was into their shit. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you had
I didn't
to be.
Have that stuff. In New York, of course. I mean, look, bro, I'll go gospel with you all day if you want that too. But in Texas, that was kind of like what was there to scratch the itch. Was like 96.9.
So you had to conform to like, that social kind of parameter.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
but I fucked with it, man. I mean, how great is our God is like... I think that's a bop still.
The splendor of the... That's a Tomlin original, I think.
Yeah. And when everyone comes back in, and then you sing both the bridge and the chorus at the same time, it fucking hits. It's still fucking
hard
good.
To deny. A college ministry when you're like 19 or 20 years old, and that song came on, it was like, there's not
so
a better feeling. This is true Nirvana right now.
And then when they go to the instrumental break, and the pastor's just like, if you feel like God has touched you today, come up forward. You went up fucking forward because that song hit you.
I freaking feel something.
Yeah, but you
go.
Smoked weed right after that.
Something. Anything. So when did it start? You talked about when you went to Texas and your cousin had that experience, but like when did it start to kind of like come apart for you,
man? Probably later high school and definitely college. Later high school, the 2 years that I didn't go to Christian school was in high school. My mom found this really good school called IDEA, Individuals Dedicated to Excellence and Achievement. And so it was like one of those public schools where like they only let in a certain amount of people and you have to have a certain grade point average and whatever.
Congrats.
Hey, well, thanks. I left later on. I like learned about the theory of evolution, like, you know, learned about politics.
And it is a theory.
Way.
I just want to
it
clarify.
Is 100%
it's just
a theory.
I learned
it's
about
just
it too.
Theory.
And how it's a myth.
Yeah, I mean, look, I also think creationism is a theory, but I don't know what the right answer is. I just think it's probably more likely that it's evolution than it is a guy did it in 7 days.
We'll talk off mic, sir.
Some books.
But I think like being in that school and like having to read like certain kind of literature and stuff like that really started to challenge it in a way that was like frustrating my mom because she was like, God damn it, this is a really good school. But now this kid's like talking back to me about God and stuff like that.
Oh, you would like get into it with your mom?
100%. Oh, I would start like asking questions of just like, isn't it kind of wrong that God like just killed all of those people in the Old Testament for no reason just because they were a different ethnic group? And she'd be like, well, it's complicated. It's like, and like she started getting really upset because, you know, and to the point where we kind of went to group therapy one time as a family because she felt like we were talking back too much. And she brought us in, and I'll never forget this. It was our first session, and she's like, look, these kids are being rude to me. And he's like, how? And we'd be like, well, we have questions about this. And at the end of the session, the therapist went, this was the nicest group of kids I've ever met in my life. I love these kids. Some of the kids that I've seen cuss out their parents. They say awful things to their parents. They threaten to kill them. They're doing drugs. Your kids just seem like they have genuine questions. And
like
we never went back to therapy.
That's interesting. I'm surprised she wouldn't take you to like pastoral therapy, you know, like pastoral care or something.
Well,
like
I just think like there wasn't like a market. Like that was another thing was, when we were in New York, we were in such a small section of people that you could do stuff like that. But in Texas, again, it's so widespread.
It's
and like, there wasn't that Like, and
Adventist. What town was this in Texas?
McAllen. It's the border of Mexico.
Oh, okay.
It's
I grew up in Houston.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And like, look, Texas is a very religious place, but it's definitely not an Adventist place. Not like Loma Linda, California.
No, it wasn't. I hardly knew any Seventh-day Adventists growing up.
And the thing about Seventh-day Adventists is that they would rather you not do anything religious than do something from another person's religion. They're very seclusionist. Like, they hate Catholics. That's like one thing. And then like, they're just like, we don't like mixing and matching. They think it's a bad thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's worse than just picking a side.
Exactly. Yeah. They're like, it's there's a whole like evenly yoked thing.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm glad I haven't thought about being equally yoked with someone in a long ass time.
The only equally yoked you're trying to do is getting your left arm ratcheting your right arm.
Yeah.
Hey. Or when I try to make two. Come on. My fap arm. Are you shitting me? We have company.
Very unequally yoked.
I get it. I've lifted up stuff with my left hand and gone,
nope. You're like,
uh-oh. Oh, this
that's
is
Pornhub.
Thank you, Pornhub.
Which is a sponsor of the show today. Oh, do you feel like your parents or your mom like really missed like the Haitian contingent that she had in New York and like probably felt a little lost in
no,
Texas at all?
No, not at all, because they built it. They went on a mission and would like tell people from New York how great McAllen, Texas was, because that's how they got into it.
Move?
Oh, yeah. And they started their own Seventh-day Adventist church down there.
For you now, like, is being Haitian also linked to like being Adventist at this point, or have you like unraveled the two?
I have unraveled the two only as of recently, because like hanging out with my girlfriend who's from Florida, like, it's just like, oh, have you heard of this? And have you heard of this? And I was like, no, like, you know, like a lot of like, there's a lot of dietary restrictions that come with being Adventist. They're vegetarian, number one.
Oh.
And like, they also follow the kosher diet. So like pork, seafood, all the, I'd never had it. And I was just like, oh, that's like a Haitian thing that I never had it. But then I was like, oh, no, it's an Adventist thing. Because like, I started looking up like Haitian cuisine and realizing that seafood is a huge part of it, because it's on a fucking island. Yeah. and so like, now I'm just like realizing like, oh, like there's like great pork meals. And like, there's like also the other side of it is the voodoo part of it. Like, you know, like that's like the thing that I'm kind of like trying to learn a lot more about, because for my parents, it was like, do not go near that. Like, they actually didn't even let me go to Haiti for a really long time.
Because
I still haven't been. But because they were just like, it's dark magic there.
Yeah, there was a church I used to go to where the consistent mission trip that they would always go on was to Haiti because of quote unquote voodoo stuff, demonic spirits, evil stuff.
Yes.
That, I heard the same thing in and I was in California, but and it wasn't like they were a little better at like coding it probably, but it definitely was like, there's a dark presence in Haiti.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's just coded xenophobia?
A little bit, but I think it was about like the voodoo thing. And I think for Christians, that's just like Satan. That's not like, oh, magic is real. It's like, no, they're playing with demons or something.
Yeah,
and, like,
exactly.
And then after the earthquake and everything, it was like also a popular mission trip for that reason, just for like aid. But on top of it, it was like, but we must bring Christ to this island because it's so overtaken by like black magic or
and
something.
There are people like, you know, one of my ex-fiance's grandparents who would say things like the earthquake happened there because those people chose the devil and that's how they got their freedom.
It's just a thing to say.
Exactly. But it's so like, but it's just like one of those times where like, you know, people are using Christianity to like mask corporate interest and not willing to admit that the reason why Haiti is so fucked is because corporations have consistently went there and were like, oh, we can get labor that we can get in the States over here for 25 cents a day. Right. So let's make sure that these people are uneducated. Let's make sure that they don't have good living situations so they can continue to do things for 25 cents a day. And like how Citibank currently is still making Haiti pay them back $1 billion. I don't even know how to explain it, because it's not a loan. It's basically France sued Haiti for getting their independence for $1 billion, and Haiti's still paying that back to Citibank right now as we speak.
Mm.
I did not know that.
Yeah, but like, you know, but they made a deal with the devil for their freaking
Jeez, that is working out super well.
So how do you feel about faith or God stuff now? Where are you at with it?
I'm kind of struggling, my man. I'm kind of struggling, if I'm being honest with you guys. I go back and forth on it. I do think that there is a higher power. I think probably why I'm struggling with it is because I still have a consistent presence from my family to do it the way that they do it. Like, I got to read you guys a text that my mom sent me the other day.
Is it a we need to go back to counseling text?
Is it a screenshot of a devotional?
Oh, man. here. Hold on. She said, this is last Friday at 10:33 a.m. out of nowhere. Kanye West has decided to live for the Lord. What do you think?
She's just starting a conversation.
No.
What do you mean? This is a pop culture fan.
What is it? Is it Jesus is King?
I think it's coming out one day. One day, maybe. We don't know.
Optimism of a mother thinking that like Kanye is going to be the one that makes you really consider it like at this point.
And I couldn't think of
maybe earlier on. I don't know.
Everyone can express their faith however they want to and is free to, and that's what's so great. But I can't think of anyone I want to be a Christian less than Kanye.
Absolutely. Boy. Absolutely. Because it's like with the Trump stuff and the ego and all that stuff. Yeah, it's just like, I don't know, Mom. This isn't a very great guy. Like, if you had went Chance, you might have had a better chance. Mm-hmm. No pun intended. but yeah, I'm kind of struggling with it because I do think, What's happening to me right now is that I'm realizing, oh, okay, I can see the benefits that Christianity had for my mom, right? I gave her a job, gave her a sense of family, gave her a culture, like all this stuff. But I don't think I need those things. And I think I can get them from other places. I think like the best way to describe my religious thinking is the last scene in the late Aziz Ansari's show, Master of None, in that episode.
Rest in peace.
The show Religion, like where like it compares like how his dad is going to the mosque and praying to him going and hanging out with his friends and going to the bar. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, that's where I'm at right now. It's like almost to me, UCB is more of a religious space than a church ever will be because it's my sense of my community. It's where, like where I go to like get some sort of fulfillment and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But
there's that corruption at the top of the chain.
Exactly. 100%. 100%. 100%. There's rampant sexism and racism.
Too much of you.
Yeah.
There's underreported abuse, oftentimes, unfortunately. But yeah, we've had, you know, because we've had a lot of UCB alum on mm-hmm. where people are still currently involved in it, where, of course, it was like a church for people in the sense of, even when career stuff was going south or doing whatever, it was such a nice tether for people
Absolutely.
To return to. And when you talk to people with non-industry jobs that also experience whatever tumultuous things in their life, regular church functions the same way that improvisers describe UCB
yes.
as.
Yeah. 100%. It's a tether. Like you said, it's 100% a tether. And I think for me, I'm trying to find a tether that isn't attached to any sense of Christianity because I am wrestling right now with the idea that, like, sure, this thing is morphing and changing, but I can't get over its root, which is capitalism and slavery and genocide. Like, I can't get over it. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's difficult for me to, like, I mean, maybe on a more of a personal level, probably, because that's just how it is. But, like, the idea that, like, this is also, like, the key to a lot of pain in my life.
Yes.
Like, a lot of things are still, like, I'm still mad about maybe.
Yeah.
And so, but I know there's like this innate lovely thing somewhere in there that I still kind of need. And I'm just like figuring out, either where else to get that or like where else is there a church that has the lovely thing without being burdened by all the other like patriarchy and corporate stuff.
I've heard of a couple of dope places. Like, you know, I had this wonderful person, Jasmine Harris, who was like a really dope pastor who's like, she was on Culture Kings. She was like, hey, come through. Like, I have like this really dope church that I'm doing at a coffee shop. And it sounded really cool and hip. But then I also was just like, oh, it's still fucking church.
Yeah, I still get there. I'm like, I still feel the same when I'm hearing
exactly.
Like,
yeah,
exactly. And then Adventism as a whole has just been bumming me out lately. They have a massive youth problem right now. A lot of young people are leaving the religion. And it's because, like, one simple thing, women can't be ordained pastors. It's like still a
thing. So people are recognizing that as like the crucible of, oh, this is stupid.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And like they're just looking at that. And also a thing that I think that Adventism didn't expect to happen. Because the religion, and I'm not trying to get into it too long, but it was started because there was like the whole Millerite movement where people thought that Jesus was coming in 1884. I'm not sure which one it was. And then he didn't show up. And so then these people went back and read the Bible. At the same time, there was this woman named Ellen G. White who started having visions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And like people considered her the spirit of prophecy. And I think like one of the reasons why that message isn't hitting hard with people is because you can look at stuff that she says and pull out your phone and research it and then just go, oh, this is completely incorrect. And I think that it hit so hard at the time it hit, which was during the Second Enlightenment, because everyone was really getting into religions and everyone was kind of looking for something to like explain how rapidly the world was changing, right? You had the Civil War, you had the Industrial Revolution. People were just like, I just want things to make fucking sense, and here's this religion. But, you know, you get to 2019, 2020, when the one country that was supposed to be the good guys is very much so the bad guys, and you're realizing it that. And then everyone's looking for new answers. You're not going to find that in a religion that is as American as it gets, right? It was started here. It's so much based on ideals from here. So I think that, like, that's probably also part of it, is people are just like, this doesn't hit anymore, you know? I don't see why respecting something on Saturday is changing the world.
Yeah, and it seemed as like a weakness is what church is like adaptable to like progress in society, you know, and if they don't like keep up, that's like, that's because it's tradition and like they're actually correct because they've stuck to it, you know. I'm gonna keep talking.
Okay, great. Well, I was gonna say I think it's something we've said before on the show, but it feels like only in the realms of like politics or religion is absolute stubbornness upheld as a virtue rather than as a vice.
Yes.
It's like, I've never changed my mind ever or been teachable. Isn't that great? You know, rather than like, ooh, that feels bad on some level.
Yeah.
So yeah, when things aren't adaptable, or honestly, like exclusive, uber exclusive truth claim stuff where it's like, this absolute, or even this particular flavor of a faith is the absolute right one, and everyone else is kind of confused because they don't agree with me.
Yeah.
You're
going to lose people. Yeah. You're going to lose people with that kind of messaging. I also think that's one of the reasons why Catholicism is the oldest, like one of the oldest surviving religions, because it is extremely adaptable. Like, I mean, like, you know, you have like Constantine being like, hey, you guys worship the sun god on December 25th. Fun fact, our guy Jesus, also born on December 25th. Right? And like people just start coming on in. And I think like you're seeing that now with Pope Francis basically being like, you know what, priest, they can fuck. And everyone's like, whoa.
You know what happened? He watched Fleabag. He was like, oh, I feel bad for her.
They need to fuck.
Yeah. I feel responsible for this.
But I think we're just going to watch other religions like, you know, Mormonism, Adventism, which were both started around the same time. They're just going to fade away because they refuse to adapt.
Or they adapt like so late that it's like, okay, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
100%.
Yeah, that's like...
It wasn't until like the 70s that Mormons were like, people of color can be be a Mormon, right?
Yes, yeah, because they were very much so like, oh yeah,
so
people of color,
slow.
They're not in heaven.
Mm-mm.
They're all white people. Yeah.
Jerry Falwell's university reversed its ban on interracial marriage in the year 2000. That was a pretty recent one.
Jesus Christ.
That was a little
Jesus
rough.
Jesus fucking Christ. 2000?
I mean, mm-hmm. It's a tough hang. Yeah.
He's been quick on his feet. He's maneuvering with the times. He's reading the room.
Teletubbies cause 9/11 style. Yep.
Oh, yeah, because there was a potentially gay one.
He thought one of the Teletubbies was gay, but then he also said
he was gay. What's his name?
Tiddlywink?
Yeah.
Tinky Winky.
Oh,
Tinky Winky.
I think it was Tinky Winky.
I've never heard someone so sober.
How was it Poe?
Tinky Winky.
Everybody knew that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, everyone except me. Wait, do you think Tinky Wink was on flight United 93?
Yes. 100%.
He was the one.
Yep.
There's this wild... this is a tangent I'll cut out, but there's this pilot of an X-Files spinoff called Lone Gunman. And the do you know about this?
Vince Gilligan wrote it, right?
Yeah, because he was one of the OG X-Files guys.
Yeah.
And the pilot of the show that aired in like spring of 2001 concerns the three main characters thwarting someone's attempt to crash a plane into the World Trade Center.
Weird.
That is crazy.
Isn't that wild?
That's so wild. Imagine if that show got picked up on air. They would have stopped.
It did get picked up on air.
That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, it aired. That was an episode that show went for like 10 or 13 episodes.
Whoa.
Yeah, but it's eerie, right? I mean, there had been the bombing before in 93 or whatever.
But planes hadn't flown into a building like
I don't remember,
as an act of terrorism.
I mean, besides Pearl Harbor, I guess.
Weird.
No. But those are boats. Those aren't buildings.
Boats are different.
Yeah.
And that's our takeaway today. Good Christian fun. Boats are different from buildings.
Y'all excited about that new Pearl Harbor movie coming out?
There's a new one?
Oh,
1917?
Midway.
Oh, Midway. That's what
like,
it is.
Yeah, huh. It's about like right after Pearl Harbor, I guess.
Oh, wow.
Keep going back to that well.
You got to go back to the World War II well. It's just such a good storytelling.
Tired of
very
it.
Profitable. I know. I'm tired
I'm
of
so
it.
So tired of it.
You guys not excited for Steven Spielberg's Apple show?
What's that? No. Is it a World War II show?
Yeah. I'm not excited for any Apple show unless you're riding on one and I don't know.
But. I'm not. Okay. And, you don't have to. You don't have to fake it. I'm not excited either. What streaming service are you guys all going in on?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked.
I love this question.
Yeah, I'm a big Streaming Wars
Disney
fan.
Plus.
You should talk later because Kevin can't.
It's unimpeachably going to be the best one.
I couldn't disagree with you more.
Really?
I understand that tweet that happened earlier this week was very exciting. I was down.
Oh,
I went through it.
Apple Dumpling Gang 5. The dumplings are back in town.
I mean,
Donald.
I was upset because I didn't see the jersey on there. I was like, where's the jersey? I think HBO Max is a sleeper, my man. I think people are disrespecting HBO Max. It's
is
a sleeper.
Is that different than HBO Go?
Yes.
You get different stuff?
Yeah, they're making original program for like Gossip Girl reboot.
Yes.
They're putting Friends on HBO
Friends.
Max, West Wing's on HBO Max.
What about
Grease?
CBS All Access?
Grease will be doing No. I mean, no one's buying CBS okay. All Access right now.
CBS All Access is the cousin Oliver of the streaming services.
Yeah,
where it's like, who asked for
I
this?
I think their marketing is working on me because they have a bunch of posters around Pasadena right now.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
For what?
For CBS All Access.
Yeah, but for what shows?
It doesn't say the show. It just has the person's face.
You know
and it says,
about.
Yeah, they're all over Silver Lake.
It's just like
as
their
well.
Characters. And
yeah.
Then it just says CBS All
it's
Access.
It's like good. By the way, I'm subscribed to CBS All Access.
Yeah, you're like actually, on all of them. Yeah.
It's like Good Fight, Twilight Zone, Picard. But like what else?
They have that animated Star Trek show coming out
That's
soon.
Right. There's a lot of good people writing on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Garrick Bernard, I mm-hmm. believe, is writing on it. Good friend.
Yeah, Disney Plus would be cool.
Yeah. No, I think...
WandaVision?
Hawkeye, maybe not anymore?
God, I hope not. That guy can go to hell.
Oh, yeah, he just did something recently, right?
Well, it just came out that like during his marriage with his wife, they're divorced now. He threatened her with a gun.
Put a gun in her mouth and then threatened to kill himself and then shot it
and
in
shot
the air
in the
into the roof
Jesus
while their kid was
Christ,
sleeping.
Christ, what a Hawkeye.
He loves
Total
camping.
Hawkeye.
He just loves outdoor recreation. So yeah. To him, it's the same as
Get
a
Get back
bow,
in the Jeep and make your music, Jimmy. Come
is.
On.
What a trash person.
Well, enough Streaming Wars talk. Thanks for sharing your story.
Yeah. Hey,
of course.
That was so
I hope it was good.
Yeah.
It was not good. It was great.
Wow.
But just to put a bow on it. Thoughts on Kanye?
Look, I think greatest rapper producer combo of all time. But you know, I think that like with Nina Simone, there are some people who are really great, but we don't realize that what's making them great is also making them crazy, and we encourage them. And then
Nina Simone is such a. I've never heard someone draw the parallel.
Yeah, like
did she have like mental illness?
Though? Yeah, in the doc, there's like a scene that I always think about where like she's like. Gyrating and singing and everyone's like cheering and then it cuts to the daughter talking head and she's just like everyone loves that shaking like you know gyrating Nina but that's the same Nina that would come home and beat me up at night and I was like yeah that's Kanye it's like
Whoa.
We love like the spastic like wild shit that he does in his songs but that's also the same person who's gonna tweet Bill Cosby innocent at 2 a.m.
Yeah,
you
that's a good
parallel. Actually hate to see it.
Yeah.
But that said, Jesus is king.
Yeah.
And we'll be right back on Good Christian Fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now.
Mm.
And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like,
as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good
going,
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
The
I
first
agree.
Month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time for the final round, thank God, of Carmania 2019.
Sweet release.
I loved this album growing up. This one that we're playing right now.
Carmen Live?
Yes.
I used to listen to this one. Oh my God.
This is so
you fun. Know this.
I remember this.
You know so much. How have we not have you on the show before, sir? This is nutty. This is,
super chicken here.
Yeah, some CDs got mixed up in my. What was appealing to you about Carmen? What's your Carmen testimony?
Oh, I mean, you need to groove for a little while.
Yeah, sorry. I don't want to interrupt it.
No, please. Jesus healed the blind man, made
him see. He loves rockabilly stuff.
He loves rockabilly.
Like, he's true mag in the sense of, like, the 50s were the best.
This is music.
Yeah. He does talk about, like, how Sinatra and other crooners were, like...
Oh, yeah. I was talking to Nate about us. He's like, how are you doing with Carmen? And I was like, is this guy, like, he's not even a real person. He's like what he thinks the Rat Pack is or was then, but it's like three iterations away from what those guys were like.
Yeah.
Is what Carmen is. Anywho.
So you had some of his albums growing up.
Yeah, right? Yeah. When we lived in Yonkers, My dad had like this big stereo system, and on Friday nights would like blast Christian music on it. And this album was one of them. And it's just like so much of Christian, like so much of the music that I heard in church growing up, especially when I was in Haitian church, is very like, you know, like
I'm trying to think.
Very hymnal. Oh, yeah. Okay, so yeah. Like, you know,
How Great Thou Art.
Yes. Yeah. It was just like so dry and slow. So you listen to this and you go, look, we can listen to this? Like, and you're just, yeah, you're bopping. Just like, you're just having a great time.
Grooving and dancing.
Of course.
Imagine a young Edgar dancing around while his father's stereo blasting in his face.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Getting malted at the soda shop.
Yeah.
Everything's in black and white.
Yeah. Because then you go back to church on Saturday and you're like, da, 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 da.
They do that in kids' school too. Did you guys have like Sunday school? Oh, yeah,
we had Sabbath school. Yeah.
Did you do like fun music at Sabbath school?
Yeah, but they were always like kiddie like songs.
Father Abraham.
Father Abraham or I am a C. I am a C-H. I am a C-H-R-A-S-E-I-N.
And I am C-H-R-A-S-E-M-I-H-E-R-T. And I am L-I-V-E-T-L-I-N-O-Y.
It was like that. It's not bumping in the same way. It's just like, again, it's just like hypnotism.
Did you ever get into like Christian like hip hop and rap?
100%.
Like Lecrae and
RJ, what's his name? The guy would be like, Toby Mac. You can get with this. Oh, Toby Mac? Come on, bro. Of course.
Records.
Of course. What if I stumble? What if I fall? Yeah.
I know. Jesus Freak is still out
shit,
there.
Bro.
We haven't talked about it.
Oh, man. Please. Please, if y'all do, bring me back.
Come back. Yes, absolutely.
I would love to talk Jesus Freak.
Yes. And then we will be the makeup of DC Talk.
Yeah.
Demographically.
Yeah, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
A Tate,
wait, which one am
a
I?
Toby, and a Kevin.
Oh, thanks for giving me a Toby.
Well, I'm a Kevin.
For sure.
And oh, that man. People Toby see Mac. Pictures of me and worry
you
about
haunt,
me.
You haunt a house.
Just stumbling around on a cruise ship in 2019.
Oh, definitely.
Oof. Well, everyone, or I would say not everyone, but a great deal of our listeners have also been touched by Carmen in some way, form or fashion. And we did, in fact, receive a lot of Carmen testimonies in the last couple of weeks. And to close out this round of Carmania 2019 in this episode, we're going to play maybe one or two of said testimonies of how people were individually affected by the man, the ministry that is Carmen.
Hi, this is Lauren McKinney, and I have a Carmen testimony. My very first job in high school in the early 2000s in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, just outside of Tulsa, was working at a Christian inbound call center, and Carmen was actually one of our clients. So we were the official merch broker for Carmen, and every time one of his commercials ran on Christian TV and the 1-800 number popped up on the bottom of the screen, those calls all went straight to us. It was kind of known among the employees that the Carmen calls were the weirdest calls. And he had a lot of women who would call in who were just like strange, horny old ladies who wanted to know if he was single and if we would give them his number. So that happened a whole lot. And it was very bizarre and awkward. And that was my weird first job.
I can't believe.
That's it.
Oh, so hopeful.
This is part of the granny pander, though. We've talked about like so much of Carmen's career seems built upon like swindling old people out of their money in some sort of way. And,
that's
like,
where it hits, man.
Yeah.
You know, that I think about it, I wonder if he stayed single for so much of his career like a boy band, you know? Like if he had a girlfriend, a good contingent of his audience would be like so disillusioned. Relief.
Or, I know
like,
comedians have kept their girlfriend's secret
or
private for that very reason.
Because people
so
try to be a part of your shit and like you just don't want that. Like, you know, like Anna, my girlfriend and I are very public against my will. And people like
we'll plug her Instagram at the end of this episode.
People like to, you know, try to do bits with us and stuff like that about our relationship. And I'm like, I don't like that. So I could see people being like, is this woman Christian enough for Carmen?
Oh, interesting.
Is she cool enough for Carmen?
Well,
like,
I mean, also in just like that people think he's still available to them too, you know, like if he's not, if he's openly single all the time. That's so funny. You'd call a 1-800 number and just assume the operator would be like, yeah, we'll pass it along to him for sure.
Well, he's waiting on the other line for this very call.
He likes these best over orders.
Send those panties here and send them right to him.
Oh, to be a fly on that tour bus wall.
Wow.
And wow. Then let's play this is a voicemail from Devin.
Hey, Kevin, Caroline, this is Devin from Virginia. When I was a kid, I was absolutely obsessed with Carmen.
It's so funny thinking about children obsessed
first
with
Carmen. VHS tape we had of him was Carman, the Video Hits Collection.
Nice.
With over 90 minutes of your favorite Carman videos all in one place. And I watched it so much that I still remember all of those music videos to this day, and unfortunately most of the lyrics, most of the songs. But when his new album came out, Heart of a Champion, alongside of the movie Heart of a Champion, which is the full-length Carman feature film, which I really hope you guys cover, because I would love to watch that movie.
You ready, Caroline? You ready?
But anyway, Ross, I got the Heart of a Champion CD, which was my first ever CD. 30 songs on two discs.
Whoa.
And
my magnum
on the back of the CD,
mega.
It said, go to carman.org for more Carman stuff. And I remember I was at my grandparents' house, and this was back before, like, everybody had internet. I don't even know if we had internet, but my grandpa did. And I said, Grandpa, can I go upstairs and use your computer to go to carman.com? And I guess he was like, yeah, whatever, I'll go upstairs with you. So he goes upstairs with me to go to carman.com. And, you know, I type it in, I get to the website, and it's porn. It's all porn, and Grandpa's freaking out, like, what is wrong with you? Why are you going to porn on my computer? And I'm like, I don't know, I'm a kid, I don't know what's going on.
I'm a kid.
Turns out I typed in Carmen with an E instead of Carman with an A. And, yeah, I still think about that to this day. So just wanted to share that with you guys. I freaking love your show. You're, like, my favorite podcast ever, and you guys changed my life. Wow. I love you guys so much. Bye.
Wow. Oh, by the way, anyone who leaves that at the end of the voicemail gets it played on the air.
Automatic
yeah,
play.
That's very nice.
That's flattering. Very nice.
What kind of porn is Carmen?
.org.
It's what people kind of having porn? Sex with their cars.
That's interesting.
Or like naked men on like vintage. Yeah.
Like muscle like, cars.
Yeah.
Muscle guys, muscle cars.
A lot of muscles. A lot
I
would have,
if I was the grandpa, I would have asked the kid to leave and say, I got to see what this is. I got to know.
I got to sanitize my computer.
They trying to fuck the car? Get out of here now.
Give me
watch
10 to 20 minutes to get to the bottom of this.
So sweaty to have your grandpa behind you as you tarp it, typing it in.
Oh. One letter off. It. You think they would have. Part of me thinks Carmen's a freak and he wanted that to happen.
He wanted it to happen. He
oh my gosh.
He knew what he was doing when
he was searching
Carmen.
Like URLs to buy.
Do you guys know the racial makeup of your listeners?
No, but we gotta assume it's mostly Caucasian.
Man, because I can't imagine black people fucking with, like, now, like, listening to this album.
It blows my mind that you listen to
it. I listened to it.
Independent of our show.
I listened to it. I didn't listen to this album.
Yeah.
And when I heard this album, I was like, oh, wow.
You fell in love.
We're done.
This is wrong.
So this is the first.
Yes, it is.
So we've done like the regular like albums for adults or whatever the mass market is. This is our first children's album of Carmen's that we've covered.
Because most of his albums are just like mishmash of genre stuff where he just plays at any other genre and just inserts like Jesus into it and has fun with it. And then some of them are like weirdly political or whatever.
We got America themes. We got island Caribbean themes.
This I feel like is kind of an Adventures in Odyssey inspired thing, and that like there's actual story like looping all the songs together, like it's one big narrative.
I think that's an insult to Adventures in Odyssey.
Absolutely,
I also think it's an insult to having a story go through your whole album, because
the story is
very like, loosely related to the songs.
So
bad one. Yeah,
I guess you could even call it like a concept album of some sort.
Oh,
and the concept is, in broad strokes, Carmen sees two cats.
Yeah, two cool cats
breaking into his car to steal his album. And then one of them runs away, and then he talks to one of them and then tells him how to be a Christian using Bible stories.
Yeah. That's he makes sure to mention that the cat is 250 pounds, which I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's kind of mean Scampi. It's
a human size.
Little cat shaming
mini
there.
Mini Scampi.
Yeah. a miniature version of Scampi. So this is how the album starts. It's just straight to the point. There's more genre. Well, no, it does go all over the place. But just in case you weren't sure.
Yo, kids. It's Carmen here. How you doing? Let me tell you about my friend Lawrence. Yeah, he's that
I'm
cat
not
on
a
the
cop.
Cover. I call him L for short.
fun.
First time we met downtown one night, Elle and another cat named Spitz were cleaning out my car. You know, stealing, ganking, robbing. Well,
ganking.
Good thing I came along when I did.
Hey, check out this ride, Elle.
I don't know about this, Spitz.
I'm uncomfortable.
Hey, it's cool.
Listening.
Man, we can get busted.
Listen, Elle, if you want to hang with the gang, you better get used to this real quick. There, see? No car alarm, no nothing. I'll yank out the...
Okay.
They're voiced by black people, right? Like, we know that. We
yes,
know
it is. I'm crossing my finger. Oh, you know for sure? Because I was like, at
are
least.
Black people.
Yes. And on the follow-up, which is the physical album, I have Lawrence and the Beatitudes. The female cat is voiced by Nicole C. Mullen.
Oh, wow.
Via Redeemer, My Redeemer Lives.
I don't know if that's worse in that, like, the cats are consistently black.
You know, is this a microcosm of white savior narratives are prevalent throughout most of Christian media? Perhaps is this something where it's like, yeah, you're I don't know. I don't know how to untangle, like, exactly how it's wrong, but it feels bad listening to it.
Carjacking is real. Like, it happens. Mm-hmm. But the way that it happens in this is so stupid and, like, so unrealistic that they would rob a car in broad daylight by smashing in the window and audibly talking about the things that they're going through.
Yes.
And that he doesn't know what a Bible is. And it's just like, look at this book.
Oh, jeez. Well, that's painful.
I took it to, like, and it sounds like this as the album goes on, that they're, like, essentially youth. That they're, like, preteens in our conception of them.
Or maybe Spitz is older, but Lawrence is definitely, like, a young kid.
Yeah.
Well, in the follow-up album, which you guys would have known if you'd listened to it, but, like, he's, like, grossed out by girls, and he's like, ew, there she comes.
Okay.
And, like so, like, you know, it sounds like a young boy who's, like, still figuring out.
Or
but
adult
it
cat.
Says
his
little
the cat
title. It says the title on the front of the book in big-ass letters.
I know, it's like, Bibly. Can you not read? Yeah.
Just wild stuff. And then this is the illustration of what Lawrence the cat looks like. And he's large.
He's a big guy.
He's purple. And the grimace on his face, though, I don't know what that's supposed to, which it's like, it's prevalent on this one, too.
Yeah, what like, is that expression?
Like,
what is the cartoonist doing?
Why is his hat always
why is he
backwards?
Like that?
He has a gold chain.
Yep.
He has mismatched tennis shoes. Mm-hmm. One's red, one's green.
Both Converses, though.
That's
right.
Cool.
But, yeah. The Lawrence and the Beatitudes is a hip-hop account of the Sermon on the Mount.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically just Carmen teaching him about Old Testament heroes. And
yeah,
John the Baptist
and be like,
at one
this
point.
Book is actually my his fighting manual is how he's described the Bible, which is insane.
There's room for you if you want to train with the big guy upstairs, stuff like that.
I mean, racially, it's just uncomfortable. Also, knowing Carmen, because, like, he is so conservative, like, openly. And I think he thought this is, like, his answer to, like, gang panic, probably, in, like, the 90s
absolutely.
And stuff.
Absolutely.
And thinking, like, well, all these, you know, young kids need is just the gospel. And I can show up and explain it to them in a cool way, and it'll work out.
Niggas
and just such
with
broad
an attitude.
Strokes.
How about niggas with beatitudes?
Like,
man, that story is hard.
Oh, man.
And that's what really went down. Before my time, but it really did happen.
You mean this Bible stuff is for real?
Straight up.
The wide-eyed, like, curiosity of a fake child.
This ain't downtown, it's Israel. You're mixing up two different guys. Jonah's the cat with the whale. David's the dude with Bigfoot.
Well, it sounds like David was a straight-up gangster. Did he do drive-bys with a slingshot or something?
Not quite slick. But close. I mean, you heard of Boys in the Hood?
Yeah?
Well, think of it this way. It's like Boys in the Pasture.
That's not.
What's wrong with that?
Boys.
I get that now. I understand what.
The Bible is therefore more alive to me than.
But people still do this all the time.
Yes, it's still prevalent.
This still happens.
Have you guys ever gone into Christian TikToks?
No,
a little
I'm just
bit.
Getting on TikTok myself.
I'll send you guys a thread at some point. It's really funny.
Great.
But it's like the same TikTok memes, but with a spin of like, and it's always like blonde white girls who clearly live in the Midwest. But it's very funny.
The only one I've seen is that was like clearly a Christian TikTok was the girl who's crying doing the choreography, but someone put like me during VBS and put it to like Shout to the Lord or Abraham.
Okay,
my
that's
crush
good.
Is there or something
that's
like that.
Very funny. Yeah, that's, and that's very true. That's
true. So true. Oh man, VBS totally crushes. Mm-hmm. Did you have any like in church relationships at all when you were in?
I was such a loser kid.
That can't be true.
No, it's 100% true.
Really?
I was a loser kid, yeah.
Oh man. Too bad you didn't have Carmen around to make you. Oh
man, that would have felt so cool.
And then the
nothing fits in like Carmen.
What would you call this genre?
That's what I. That was my other thing. So the genres whistle? Are so inconsistent.
Yeah, because it's like almost new jack swing, but then
yeah.
it's not.
Yeah,
he
was 100. Abraham
had a son, but he still does this like mumbling. He was 100. Moses took them all into the promised
land. I wanna be another number.
He
does his Elvis voice.
Yeah, yeah, this is an Elvis impression. But this is basically like you need to be so good a Christian that you'll get like rewarded in like a plaque. Any boy, any girl can be a hero in God's world. That's poetry, friends.
That's true.
Does that not connect and resonate with you? Man, it's all about
this book. Well, is it now?
Lord,
nah, let's just say I'm training for a championship fight. This is my manual. Straight up.
Here's one thing.
Right again.
Okay, so otherwise, and you know this because you listen to Carmen stuff, he's obsessed with Satan.
Yeah.
He loves talking about
Satan.
He
loves talking about Satan.
He says he doesn't love him, but we wonder about
that. You need a
that.
Clear antagonist. You need a clear antagonist.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And that's who Carmen's always fighting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Satan, though, fairly absent from this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if they were like, don't scare the kids too much with it or something. They had to stay broader. I don't know.
We can freak them the shit out with witches' invitation and say invite the
dust. Yeah, there's definitely a market for scaring children with Satan, but it's too unclear.
The real Satan here is gang violence, according
just
to Carmen.
So.
I will say, something that I did learn from this album is that like so much of slang that I thought was like newer isn't. Because like, this was like 92?
It was 1992, yeah. Or 92.
So like when he's like straight up and all this stuff, I was like, oh wow, we've been saying that for a while.
It's been part of the vernacular.
When he's like homie, I was like homie.
The only thing I kind of enjoyed or thought was kind of funny was how he would call Lawrence different cat names throughout of it, like Heathcliff or Felix or Garfield.
Get out my butt, Garfield.
Yeah, I was like, ah, good one.
He's so obsessed with looking cool. Like every I forgot he's just like Lawrence asked him something, he's like, yeah. Something like that.
It's like, you can't give him an inch.
Yeah. Give me a straight answer, Carmen. Listen, I'm a kid. Like, stop faffing me around.
I know, we were talking about another episode. Like, Carmen is never the fool or,
never.
Like, never even just a normal person.
No.
Like, he's always, like, the coolest, the most masculine, the most savvy in everything.
He never has an arc where it's like, I started here.
Yeah.
Now I learned something.
That's
now
a good
this.
Point. Yeah, he's just always
just
on
like,
top.
Yesterday, today, forever. Carmen is the same.
He's the same.
Coolest. Hell
yeah.
Unfortunately, but you know, Lawrence gets his own song, the cat vibe. This one I thought was catchy. This is how poisoned my brain is now with
so
Carmania
poison.
Because other than like the inherent racial issue of the optics of the album, I didn't find any of the messaging like disgusting like
no,
it is on any
no.
of the Carmen albums.
Yeah.
It's just like basic kiddo like, hey, this guy did a good thing or this girl, Ruth, did a good thing in the Bible. Be like her.
Yeah.
I did think that it was so funny that for Ruth, like the thing that he took from that story was like, she chose God over the pagan gods and like she knew they were wrong or something. I'm like,
she wanna live with her mother-in-law?
Yeah, what? I was like, I don't think that was the story of Ruth, but okay. Okay, I like this one. This is like the swing one, right?
Yeah. Is this a song?
Daniel and the Dangerous Dudes?
Yeah, is this a like? Is this
I don't
a
think
real
it's a parody. It just sounds
I've
like a
I've heard
lot
it
of
somewhere
swings,
else before.
Yeah.
I'm a favorite leader of
King Darien. I think it's just like blue. It's so generically blues chord oriented that it probably just sounds like 50 other songs.
I think it's in the Righteous Gemstones, like in the chorus.
Really?
Like, I remember, I was like, I've
that
heard this
sense.
Song recently.
So funny.
Yeah.
No.
This is what he wants. He should be in Reno doing this 24/7.
Yes.
Not what he's
like in character all the time. I like
yeah,
that.
You know this.
I like that.
I mean, I listened to it, guys. I listened to this album a few times.
A few times. Oh, man. The things we ask of our guests on this show.
Yeah, this one's good.
Did you like how sexy the Ruth song sounded? Because it is, for a children's album, hot. It's really hot.
I can't remember if this is it, but there was one that I couldn't even finish. I like just skipped ahead.
Is it the one where...
it's a ballady one.
Oh, Lord said, is there a place for me?
Yeah, it's
and they
that
go,
one.
Hell yeah, yeah, there is.
Oh, God. Yeah, mm-hmm. This one. I was like...
Where there's a woman in it for some reason?
Yeah.
Yeah, who's she?
I don't
Whaling
know
in
who
the car?
She is.
Is she, in the song
is she Carmen's friend? No, of course not.
Is this a new life in a new place?
Somewhere Within the Heart.
Oh, okay.
Is the name of this one. Now, I will say, I don't know if it makes it better or worse. I think maybe a little better. In the follow-up album, Carmen is nowhere to be seen.
Ah,
it's just the cats.
It's just Lawrence.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so he passes the baton in this album. And then in the Beatitudes, it's just Lawrence and all his pals.
Carmen so rarely cedes the spotlight to anybody else. That's, that's a big man to do that.
It takes a big car man to do that.
Oh,
yeah, a lot of car
cat.
Puns in the beginning of this
Oh,
one.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm turning this off. Good grief.
Whew. Daniel, man, the dangerous dude.
Like, oh man, this crib. Part. Where's your hood? Where's your hood?
And watch out for the rats.
Yeah, nice neighborhood slice.
Hey, why are you tripping?
It's like he's going deeper. He's like not putting on like any sort of like urban accent for him, but he's like leaning more into his like Italiano machismo.
Yeah, it's like doing slang too. Also making fun of his like. Like maybe crummy neighborhood is not a very generous Christian thing to do either.
Lawrence didn't pick his economic situation.
Yeah, like, what are you, poor Garfield? Like, jeez. Yeah,
you know,
actually.
Food stamps?
I do.
All kidding aside, class inequality is one of the biggest problems in this country.
Can you imagine if you admitted
Carmen.
That?
That's why I'm voting for Bernie. They go into the apartment, and the cats are jamming out.
This is the part that made me really fucking mad, is that they stole the tapes. And, let it
Lawrence
play.
And I got
it's
to
so
hang
crazy.
Out. Thin shafts of light danced through the rickety old door, and we could hear them cats partying inside.
He's an artist, Caroline.
He is.
If you know nothing, Lawrence, you should know this by now.
The story.
I offered to go inside with him, but he shook his head.
Thanks, G, but I gotta do this on my own. You mind just hanging here for a minute?
I nodded. Sure, my man. Lawrence started lifting the door latch, then hesitated. Remember Daniel, David, and Joseph, I whispered. Lawrence smiled. Then he slowly pushed open the rusty door.
What about Ruth?
Someone inside.
And maybe Ruth, but I don't know. Who cares?
No. She's a lady.
Get weak.
And the door slammed shut. I could hear them cats circling around Lawrence saying, "Dude, you did it. You pulled off your first job." One of the cats must have been Spitz. Slapped him on the back.
Man, I thought you was dog meat for sure, getting busted right on the scene. You must have done some fancy footwork to get out of that one.
Lawrence didn't know what.
I love when cartoons get caught off guard.
Hey, don't worry, man. You're in with us now.
I knew Lawrence wanted to tell him what really happened. And what he had decided, but he was scared. I started praying for him on the spot. In the meantime,
come on, cats. We got a new member in the mob, and I got a new tape to play. Let's rock.
Before I could finish praying, I heard my voice coming over their stereo. This is the story of Peter dancing on the water.
What fucking gang is dancing to this song?
Play that.
Like, that's the craziest part.
This song of all of them, too. Yeah.
Maybe I'm Carmen, the first welcoming they you to it. Sandals Resort. It's so like baldly, like a Wayne Newton Goulet, just like, just go back to Reno and do this forever,
you could
Carmen.
Have a whole, you could have a job.
You could be
world.
A master at this.
You could have a good life.
I mean, some would argue he is a master.
But could you imagine the Crips coming back and be like, yo, man, we really fucked that other gang up. We really fucked that other set up. Let's fucking party. What has happened?
And
if they'd let that whole song play,
the
no
whole
way.
Song.
No way.
Now, there was a Yo Kids video that did exist.
Wow. Yeah, I was wondering if they ever made a movie from
this. It was interspersed, like it was never like animated. It was just humans in huge Lawrence the Cat costumes dancing around and stuff. Yeah, let me see if I can find one clip. And then I think the one they put out, they like interspersed it with VeggieTales footage. I know, which also seems blasphemous, right?
That's messed up. That's fucked. Don't you dare come for Bob.
Okay, so Carmen, your kids. We can find a Sling Bing Boom. What's it called?
Sling Bang Boom. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Found it. Oh my gosh.
Ooh.
Look at the way it starts out. It is terrifying.
I bet this cat isn't going to look busted at all, right?
Oh my god! Oh, this is a jam though. This one is a jam.
Sling Bang Boom, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it. Actually, I've not watched this, so I'm watching this for the first time with you guys.
Good, a white blonde boy.
All right, well, he's a fucking Israeli. Like, let's stop. Nope. What the hell is going
Perfect
on?
Perfect casting. Press box.
Who is that?
Is he also playing the press guy?
A press box.
Now, the full-length video does exist, but it's of such shitty quality that you can't even, like,
see it.
Not really, like, and I tried watching some of it, but it's, yeah, it's a toughie. But they do have this part. Yo, kids, the vids is what it's branded as. And what do we need to cheer up first?
Oh, my God.
Kids love saying yo.
Larry. Hey, again, a white packed audience. Not a black kid
in sight. Oh, my God.
This should have been our intro for Carmania.
Hey.
Oh. Yeah, so but it's so poor quality. I couldn't tell you what's going on here. It looks like it was uploaded in 1996 on, like, Real Player
Those cats look like video for sure they retrofitted some Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes.
Mascot outfit.
Absolutely.
Just added some costuming.
Absolutely.
Any other songs you wanted to talk about before we rate and rank the album?
We talked about the swing song. That was the one I liked.
Yeah, listen.
I had a good time with that.
In the hall of faith. Oh, man. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's time then. Mm. Caroline.
Yeah.
We've made it. We made it to the end of Carmania.
Wow.
2019. I'm so glad you're here to witness this, Edgar. We didn't think we could do it.
I mean, I don't even know if y'all really went that deep into it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if y'all didn't watch that Yo Kids special.
Well, we left room for Carmania 2020 next year.
You have to leave some things on Earth.
There's so many albums.
Is he doing a Carmania 2020?
No, I'm saying we're doing a Carmania 2020.
He's running.
Next year, but he's running.
I think he should.
Yeah, and next year, yeah, that's great. Carmania 2020 next year will coincide with the election.
Yeah.
So it'll just be a lot of positive feelings in the air and good vibes all night.
Has there ever been an Italian president?
I can't remember a gabagool bill passing in Congress or Senate.
I mean, definitely not before, like, 1940, right?
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah.
Definitely not. That was like a part of the KKK's original agenda.
Yeah, like Italians weren't. Yeah.
Italian
for
presidents?
Like a long time.
No Italians.
No Italians.
No Italians, no Catholics, no Jews.
Kennedy, he's just Catholic. I don't think he was Italian.
He was not Italian.
He was Irish.
Definitely
he was
Irish.
Very Irish.
Yeah. All right.
Redheaded alcoholic.
That's right.
Pod Save America. Cut to good Christian fun. I think Kennedy wasn't Italian.
I think he's a Kennedy.
Usually the way this works, Edgar, is that we give it a holy toast or holy roast. A thumbs up or a thumbs down. But because Carmen is so bankrupt morally, but then also content quality-wise.
And maybe you're out there and you're thinking, hey, Yo Kids wasn't so bad. It isn't, but everything else is. So just trust us on that one.
So the rating system here is you can give it a holy roast and send it to hell. Or a holy dark roast and send it to a darker, deeper, lower version of hell. Where Satan's waiting for him.
No, he's not waiting, remember? Darker roast has Satan, so he can't hang out with him.
Oh, lighter
and fight
roast.
Him.
Yeah, he's obsessed with Satan. He loves him so much.
Yeah.
And he's in the lighter version of hell. So we start with Caroline with rating.
I'm going to let him get back in the ring with Satan. I'm going to give him a lighter roast. For this one, you know, because this one was pretty, well, you know, we have some mixed issues, but it was like pretty good. And I hope Lawrence goes to heaven. That's the only one I really care about.
Lawrence, I'm worried about. Spitz, I care about. Mm-hmm. The girl, Nicole C. Mullencat, I care about.
About her. It's like Jesse. I can't remember what it was, but yeah.
Okay.
They're so all in heaven.
A regular roast. A light roast. A light blonde roast from Caroline. Mm-hmm. We turned to Edgar.
I'm giving it a darker roast. Ooh. And I hope that they all go to hell with him.
All the cats.
Because they would dance Lawrence to that fucking Spitz song. Like, that's like, I was down for the whole album. So this album is fun until I heard them dance into that
it
song.
It turns out you can lose your salvation, and yeah, it's dancing to that.
Here's what the
that
darkest version of hell sounds like.
What is this song?
It's just, this sounds like they didn't have room on the last album for this song, and he's like, well, we could put it on the kids one, I yeah guess.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
From the ex-Caribbean concept album.
Oh, man. And the way that he goes, and I could just hear them all rocking and jamming. I was like, no, you couldn't.
It was
no,
the best music they had ever heard.
Wait, he does yeah say at one point in this, I forgot to write it down, but he was like, and the tapes were pretty good, or yeah something like that. Like, he openly compliments his tapes.
Oh, here it is at the end.
Through a crack in the door, I could see the cats really getting down, dancing to the music. All except Lawrence, who was sitting in the corner looking like one scaredy cat. Reminded me of Peter when he started looking at the waves instead of at the Lord.
That's music. They're going it sounds like hold music on like yeah a tech
yes
support.
Yes.
Like 70s daytime TV music.
They're going to hell, bro. Mm-hmm. All of them.
Well, you didn't get to the part where he says that the tape was jamming or something.
After congratulating Spitz for stealing such a jamming music tape.
There it is.
Oh, my God. Carmen, no.
Carmen, stop.
Get over it.
So insecure.
I am because of having gaslit myself for doing this series, giving it a lighter roast as well.
Wow.
Yeah, I am because I wasn't egregiously offended by the content of the songs.
Sure, sure.
Now the
yeah
makeup and
yeah,
the
maybe
objects
that's why
of it,
it's been a little better.
Yeah,
yeah.
There wasn't anything that was like, oh, this is like a hate crime against Gabe. Well, I mean, you know, maybe.
I mean, yeah, you guys aren't black. yeah. Wow. You didn't have to hear you
shot
guys being
right to
portrayed
the heart
as
that's really
cats
true. Yeah.
That's fair.
That's really true.
I know, because I was trying to do the math of like, so are all cats black
yeah,
in this world?
I don't get it, man.
Or they're like different races, because in the next album all the dogs sound like white guys.
Really?
Yeah,
boy.
So they like mean with a pack of mutts and they're like, hey, give us your, but they don't sound like black people. So I was trying to, I mean, safe to say this is as racially progressive as the Siamese cat song from the Aristocats.
Yes,
right. Yes.
Yes,
safe to say, yeah, unfortunately. So here we end. Maybe the most fitting conclusion to Carmania 2019 is that Carolyn and I have become more problematic.
Yeah, have like no, declared no ourselves problematic.
You didn't become yeah it. It was always inside of you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you.
That means a lot.
Hey, of course, oh, wow, of course.
Stop doubting myself.
But you can give it a holy roast or holy dark roast at Christian Fun Pod on Twitter. So get out there and
Pokemon, go to the polls.
Ballers.
Oh, my God.
2020. She's running. Hillary.
Oh, God. I don't think so.
One last ride.
One more time.
She announces her candidacy on TikTok.
Oh, God.
Okay. All right. Time to bring it down. Farewell, Carmen, until we meet again next year in an election year.
Don't.
Maybe Carmen will start touring for one of the, you know, one of the candidates.
I would go with you guys.
To a Carmen?
I would 100% go with you guys.
I honestly would, but I really have to think about giving him money. Like,
would
putting
it be a love
anything
offering
in his
thing
bank
it'd be
account?
Like $25.
Oh, yeah.
I don't
oh,
think
if it's
you
a love offering,
yeah,
I'd
I don't
zero
think you, yeah, I think good the churches take on the cost, and then you can just give a donation if you want to.
Perfect. We'll do that.
Let's do it.
I'll cost him.
Hey.
Let's do it.
Now, unfortunately, though, his like primary major market closest to L.A. is Bakersfield, I believe.
So, I'm down. What is that, 4 hours? Let's
yeah
do it.
Yeah. But now's the time we bring it down. We dim the lights, we light the candles, and we get a little more spiritual and serious. And Edgar, on this show, we don't promote ourselves or plug ourselves. We lift them up to the Lord. And we do that starting with Caroline.
Don't promote me. Lift me up.
At you.
At Caroline Sparks on Twitter and Instagram.
Where my pussy's popping every day.
Jeez. Oh, my God.
I'm quoting
only
you
only on my close friend's stories.
Am I on there?
I don't have a list.
Oh, okay.
I know I'm not on yours.
What? You are on mine.
You've been found out. No, I'm absolutely not.
Dang, how did you find out? Wait, can I ask how you found out? You saw someone else who had it?
No, well, yes. One of my friends has it, who you're not even really friends with. And she was like, yeah, I saw it. Oops.
Oh, my God.
An eye oop.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Absolutely.
Wait, who was it?
It's fine. Like, live your life. I don't care.
Who was the friend?
Oh, my God.
Madison.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Why did I put Madison
on that?
Yeah,
you didn't hang out with her.
I have 371 close friends.
Oh, my God.
I think that was temporary. I think I reinstated you.
And
know.
A Carolina.
Reinstated?
Yeah.
Why was she uninstated?
You're back on the team.
It's fine.
I don't remember. I get self-conscious that Caroline will make fun of me for certain things.
Okay. That's fair. I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I always feel like, too, like, it's fine if you need a little space from me every once in a while. You know, we see each other a lot. And I'm like, live, you know, have your own life.
This is our third night in a row of us seeing each other.
Yeah. I feel like your mom sometime where I'm like, that's okay. You know, have fun with your friends. That's okay.
I feel like your dad sometimes.
You do?
Yes.
How? In what way at all?
Because you owe me respect.
You're distant. You don't ask me about my relationship.
Is that true? No, I do ask you. Come on.
Look, this always happens. I always create discord between co-hosts, and I don't know what it is about me.
I'd love to flatter you, but honestly, it's not you. It's just generally how it goes.
All right, great.
Wait, does this ever happen with you and Jacquees on the air?
Oh, we hate each other.
Are you on each other's close friends list?
I do. I don't know if Jaquise is on mine. I've had this discussion before. I'm not going to say it on the pod.
Jaquise
is my co-host.
I'm going to tell you.
Hey, I get it. I get it.
I get
Listen,
it.
Boundaries. But
it's
I love you. And you are
sometime.
A dear close
it is
friend.
A work
thank
relationship.
You. I feel the same way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
You're in my top 400.
Oh, thank you.
We weren't friends before we started the pod. A very unknown fact.
You and Jaquise?
You like cold co-hosted together?
Another podcast. And then Culture Kings. Yeah.
Has a friendship blossomed out of it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think Jaquise and I have such a very strong relationship now that I'm actively trying to stop his wedding.
That's right.
You are?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's engaged
so you don't
to
lose
be married.
Him?
Yeah. I don't want him to have a wedding. I want him to be married. I don't want him to have a wedding.
Oh,
Why can't he have the party?
Cost reasons?
Absolutely. I want the nigga to save some money.
Oh, yeah.
I told him I'll pay for everybody at Olive Garden.
That's thoughtful. Oh, that's nice.
About like 20 people
save
max.
It for
how
him.
Much did you spend on your wedding? I'm just kidding.
Never. Never will I say that number.
Oh,
was it
boy.
More than $1,000?
I mean, look at her books.
It was $2,000. Yeah, my book budget is that big. Can only imagine.
Anything you want to lift up?
No, not this week.
Not this week. Well, we turn it to Edgar.
Yeah, I want to lift up The Wokest. Check it out on Stitcher Premium.
Very funny. A lot of former friends of the show on that show.
Wow.
Io, other people.
Nice.
But yeah, you can check it out on Stitcher Premium. If you use code Wokest, you get a free month. All the episodes are out right now, so I suggest using that free code and then just listening to it all. And go ahead and hit cancel on that Stitcher Premium.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. As soon as you're done, baby.
Cancel it.
Don't stick around for the Gino Lombardo show or whatever the hell.
Oh, yeah.
Office ladies. They don't need it.
Make a new email account.
You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. If you're not going to lift something, I'm going to lift something up.
Oh, great. You haven't had a lift up for me in a while.
I haven't. I wanted to vocalize. I'll lift up Unbelievable on Netflix. Did you watch it?
Can't. I listened to some of the story about it, but yeah.
What is it?
It's a show about a true story of a woman who's like raped. She reported to the police, and then they eventually convinced her like it didn't happen, and like her family also like people who really cared about her kind of helped her, and then because it sounded outlandish, like it sounded like a Law and Order show plotline.
I hope it doesn't sound like I'm lifting it up because I enjoy shows about...
No. I don't think anyone's thinking that's why. Yeah. No, I've heard it's really good, too. I only have so much tolerance to listen to that stuff.
Well,
it was
written and directed mostly by women, and it has the approval of the victim, which is not true of most...
So is it a dramatization of it?
Yeah. It's Toni Collette, Mara Weaver, and...
Caitlin Dever.
Caitlin Dever, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So...
Yeah. I'm like, I've supported, I'm like, yes, go do that, tell that story, but...
First episode was a tough hang.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. And I understand why anyone wouldn't watch it. Yeah. But doesn't affect me.
I'll last minute lift up Judy. Judy was a good film. I enjoyed it.
Wow.
If you like Judy, go check it out. Also kind of a tough hang, but pretty good. What?
All right. I mean, nah, do you, bro? I'm not saying anything, Caroline.
I'm so embarrassed now. I lift up Judy. Judy sucks. I'm stupid.
I mean, no. Why aren't you like?
Not that good.
I was just saying, wow. I just, like, you know, I listened to what he lifted up and, like, the cultural impact of it and everything. It's like, you know what? I'm throwing in this.
I'm sorry. You're clear, saying Judy doesn't have a cultural impact?
Oscar bait play.
This clear Oscar grab from Renee Zellweger.
I don't like that there's two Kevins in the room right now. This is upsetting and I can barely handle him.
This has never happened before, is the thing. This has never occurred on our show.
I can't square off on pop culture stuff with you two.
Lift us up.
Judy. Check out Judy.
Check out Judy.
At your local Lamel.
Check out Renee Zellweger opening up her hand for a little golden boy.
Oscar-shaped hand.
She already's got one from friggin' Cold Mountain, too. So what do you need another
Let
one
her
for?
Live.
It's the actress equivalent to starting a podcast. You already have yours.
You already got one. Have ours. You're going to get a Golden Globe nominee at best. So it's like, come on.
Lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun. And leave us a review. And every review you leave, we donate $1 to the Environmental Defense Fund.
Oh, wow.
Edgar, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having
me,
man.
What a delightful get. Come back for Jesus Freak or anything.
Oh, I'd love to. You guys were fantastic.
So fun.
I apologize for insulting you in
for
your
nothing.
Own home.
No, please.
Sir,
I nothing
no
makes me
need
feel
to
uncomfortable.
That is true. And there's nothing left to say except for an all pods people said. Mm-hmm. Hey, should we go out? Should we close Carmania with Daniel and the Dangerous Dudes, a song we all kind of
hoping for, like
liked
a palate cleanser, but no, it's just
we
dive
can do
right
a palate cleanser. What song should we go out with?
Well, let Edgar pick it. Yeah.
Yo, this is track called the Revelation Song, I think.
Ooh.
From Carmen.
Hold on, no. It's
wait,
not
the Hillsong
Carmen.
One.
Now, hold on, let me look up
Carrie Joby.
Let me look up on my gospel playlist, and I'll tell
Revelation
you guys
song?
Right now.
Revelation song is like holy, holy, holy. Is that
that
Lord?
One?
It's
yeah,
that one?
Yeah.
Wait, let me see. Is this my gospel? Yeah, by Passion and Carrie Joby.
Oh, perfect. Fun fact, I played this and sang it with a old family friend at my brother's wedding.
Oh, wow.
You did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As the bride walked down the...
And were you like rolling your eyes the whole time and being like, can you believe?
I mean...
It was 2010.
It's kind of weird that she walked down to the Revelation song. What
so
is she saying about herself?
The worthy is the lamb who was
yeah.
slain.
Who is she? You're not fucking
she's
Jesus.
She's like, here comes the sacrifice.
Here comes, yeah. Here I am.
Well, it was sweet, though, because her dad, like, play cut her throat and like, ooh, you're dead now.
She had a blood pill.
Yeah. Ooh, oh, no. Oh, man. All right. Farewell, Carmania 2019. You don't deserve a song.
Good riddance.
Worthy is the Carmen who's slain. All right. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.